If you would, take your Bibles back out and turn to Revelation chapter 16. For our guests, our church family has been studying the book of Revelation. We've been going through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, probably now for what, a year or more? Something like that. And so we are in chapter 16. That's where we're at, and that's when you came, and that's when you were supposed to be here to hear chapter 16, at least part of it preached today. And so I'm thankful that that we can hear from God telling us about what's going to take place in one future day. And one of those things that's going to take place is he's going to pour his wrathful judgment out upon the earth like he's never done before, and then that's it. That's it. So we're looking at the outpouring of God's final judgment in Revelation chapter 16. The main lesson, because God is just and holy, he pours out his wrath on the unbelievers of earth as has never happened before, and in so doing, he avenges the martyrs. Lord Kenneth Clark, internationally known for his television series, Civilization, lived and died without faith in Jesus Christ. He admitted in his autobiography that while visiting a beautiful church, he had what he thought was an overwhelming religious experience, but we know that doesn't matter. He writes, "My whole being was irradiated by a kind of heavenly joy far more intense than anything I had known before. But the gloom of grace, as he described it, created a problem for him. If he allowed himself to be influenced by this grace, this gloom of grace, he knew he would have to change the way he lived his life. His family might even think that he had lost his mind and went crazy. And maybe, he thought, that intense joy that he once experienced would all be an illusion." So he concluded this, quote, "I was too deeply embedded in the world to change course," end quote. Now, what I would say about that is that the world was too deeply embedded in him to be able to change course. And so he did what comes natural to unbelievers and spiritually dead sinners. He rejected Jesus Christ, for he couldn't do anything else. He was spiritually unable to come to Christ. You know, the Bible describes each one of us before we came to faith in Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 2. And this is how the Bible describes us before Christ. We were dead in the trespasses and sins in which we once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of God's wrath, like the rest of mankind. Today, in our study of God's wrathful judgment in Revelation chapter 16, we meet more people who were of the world. And because they were of the world, they refused to repent, even knowing that God was sending his wrathful judgment against them. They still would not repent, and so they would rather burn than believe in Jesus for salvation. A sad testimony. Well, last Sunday, we looked at the first bowl judgment out of seven of God's wrathful judgment, and we saw this. The first bowl of God's final judgment was painful and harmful sores on all the unbelievers of the earth. We looked at that in verses 1 through 2. And this morning, we begin looking at the second bowl judgment of God's wrathful judgment, and we see that he judges the sea. The sea. So point number 2 is this. The second bowl of God's final judgment, death of the sea. Look at verse 3, Revelation chapter 16. This is God speaking. "The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing died that was in the sea." Once again, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come here today to hear you speak, and you have spoken. For every time we read your words, you speak. And so I'm so thankful that today your people have heard you speak in Sunday school, and now here in the worship service, we have heard you speak again. And Father, you're telling us something, something of grave importance, that there is one of two places that every single soul will end up, and that is either heaven or hell. And Father, we're seeing your wrathful judgment against those who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ, and it is terrifying. And so, Father, I pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and a taste for this, the treasure of your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, the second bowl of God's final judgment, death to the seas, or the salt waters of the earth. So God's second bowl judgment brings death to every living creature in the seas of the earth, the seas and the ocean, every living creature. Notice the contents of the bowl became like the blood of a corpse. If you recall, this judgment is similar to the first plague of Egypt when he turned the Nile into blood. But that was a local judgment, not a worldwide judgment. And also the second trumpet judgment of Revelation chapter 8, where Jesus, the judgment was killing a third of all living creatures in the ocean. But both of those judgments differ from this one in impact and widespread lethal effect of God's judgment. So this is a judgment that has the earth has never, ever seen before and will not see ever again. That's what the Bible tells us. So nothing that was living in the seas of the earth and the oceans of the earth is left alive. Why? Because the waters turned to what was like blood. And if you know anything, oxygenated water is what sea creatures need to have, and it would have completely wiped out the oxygen out of the water. And this blood-like ooze that God judged the seas with. So you say, well, what would die? Well, think of all the coral reefs, sharks. Think of the shrimp and the clams and the oysters, fish of all kinds, even the tiny microorganisms that are alive in the sea. Sea plants would die. Whales, dolphins, which are mammals, plankton, invertebrates, lobsters, crabs, just to name a few of the things that are living in the sea now, all of those things would die instantaneously. One theologian said this, "To the amazement, horror, and despair of the world, the oceans will no longer be fluid, but will become thick, dark, and coagulated like the pool of blood from someone who has been stabbed to death." Another theologian said this, "In oceans which occupy 70% of the earth's surface, become a pool of death, a toxic wasteland of water. The term watery grave will take on a whole new and tragic meaning." Now, I'm not sure if you know this, but sometimes off the coast of Florida and off the coast of California, they get what is called a red tide. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but it's a local thing, just in small places off those coasts. And what it does is it kills all the living creatures that are around that red tide. Similar in effect, but much smaller than what this second bowl judgment will be like. And for anyone who eats those fish or sea creatures that get the red tide, it usually poisons them as well. And so this is a thing. This is a thing. This is going to happen. At the end of the age, God will kill every living creature in the oceans of the world when he turns the seas and the oceans into a coagulated blood bath in his judgment against sinners. And just imagine the economic and the food, the staggering loss of food that's going to take place. And this is in a world that's already had much of God's judgment wreck it already. And this is even more final. Church family, if I haven't done a good job, then forgive me. But what I want to say now is this. The judgment of God, just like anything that he does, is absolutely perfect. All right? And he gets it right every time. And this is the most one of the most terrifying things the earth will ever experience. And when I mean earth, I mean the unbelievers on the face of the earth during this historic time at the end. It is a terrifying thing to fall under the judgment of God. You know, many of us would think, well, these bowl judgments would turn some of these unbelievers to faith in Jesus Christ. But as a matter of fact, it had the exact opposite effect on these unbelievers. It didn't turn them to Christ, but it further pushed them away from Christ, which is what we would expect of spiritually dead sinners, because they can't come to Christ. The Bible says in Revelation 16:9, they did not repent and give God glory. Instead, they blasphemed His name. And so this judgment of God is terrible and terrifying and perfect and good all at the same time. And thankfully, it will never happen again. Once He does it, it will never happen again. I once heard of an agnostic farmer who wrote to the editor of his local newspaper, who happened to be a Christian, and he said this: "In defiance of your God, I plowed my fields this year on Sunday. I disked and fertilized them on Sunday. I planted them on Sunday. I cultivated them on Sunday, and I reaped them on Sunday. This October, I had the biggest crop I have ever had. How do you explain that?" To which the editor replied, "God does not always settle His accounts in October." But there is one thing for sure and for certain: God will one day settle all accounts. And we need to be ready for that day. And the only way to be ready is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Point number three, the third bowl of God's final judgment is this: death of the rivers and springs. So He's inflicted all the unbelievers with these sores. And if you remember, the Greek that described them were evil, evil sores. They were oozing pustules of flesh rotting off of people's skin, both on their skin and inside their bodies. That was the first bowl judgment. The second one was He put death to the seas, and now death to the freshwater supplies is what He judges the earth on. So look at verses 4 through 7. "The third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel in charge of the water say, 'Just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve.' And I heard the altar saying, 'Yes, Lord God, the Almighty, true and just are your judgments.'" Now I want you to recall for just a moment, in the judgment of the third trumpet, there a third of the fresh water supplies, rivers and springs, they became wormwood, if you recall that in Revelation chapter 8. And because of the third trumpet judgment of God, a third of the fresh water supply of earth became so bitter that anyone who drank it died. That was a third of all the fresh water. So the earth has been under judgment of God already, with a third of the fresh water supply of no use to anyone, and now the rest of the fresh water supply on earth is of no use to anyone either. So in God's final judgment of sinful believers, all of these freshwater supplies, every well, every river, every spring, every creek, every pot of water will become useless. It'll turn into blood. You say, a pot of water? Yeah, every freshwater supply will turn to blood and will be of no use for drinking or for medicinal purposes either. None whatsoever. So if we think back to our ninth grade biology, and I know for some it's more of a challenge than others, but if we think back to our ninth grade biology class, we learned about the hydrologic cycle, which is where rain comes from. Well, guess what happens when fresh water and seawater turns to blood? There is no hydrologic cycle, which means there is no rain. no rain whatsoever. Now, if you're wondering what that sound is, we have a cardinal that has been hanging out at church, pecking on the windows and the doors. And that little cardinal is right here in this window just pecking and wanting to come in. So I'm sorry about that, but hey, God wants it to happen today, and it's going to happen. Amen? That's the way. Maybe he's sort of lightening it up a little bit with all this judgment. I don't know. But anyway, that little bird's been around for the last 2 years, and I can't understand why it still has a beak. I'm not sure yet. I couldn't have pecked it off by now. What's that, Gordon? He's saying, preach, preacher, ain't he? In Morse code. Okay, so let's let the preacher preach then. All right. One theologian says this: there will be no water to drink, no clean water to wash the oozing sores caused by the first bowl judgment, no water to bring cooling relief from the scorching heat that the fourth bowl judgment will shortly bring. Church family, the wrathful, righteous, perfect judgment of God is absolutely terrifying. And if I'm not doing a good job of expositing this text, then forgive me. But I want you to know the wrathful, righteous, perfect judgment of God is nothing to play around with. It is terrifying and it is deadly. And so maybe that's why the angel abruptly sings a song about who God is, and it tells us why he's bringing this wrathful, his wrathful judgment against the sinful unbelievers of the earth. So look back with me here at verse 5. This is what the angel begins to sing during the midst of the seven bowl judgments. And I think it does explain, although God has no reason to explain whatever he does, especially to people like you and I, he doesn't have to explain anything he does to us. And yet, in his grace and his mercy, he tells us why he does this. And this is in verse 5, 6, and 7. Just are you. Why does God do this judgment? Because he is just. Let me tell you, if God ceased to judge sinfulness, he would cease to be God because he would cease to be just. And he would no longer be a God to worship, none whatsoever. So he does this because he is just. And God's justice, just like his wrath, is perfect. Now, I know you've all heard of the law of lex talionis. And all that simply means is the punishment fits the crime. And what we see here is in God's justice, the punishment that he gives to the unbelievers is exactly what they deserve. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And so he does it because he's just. He does it because he's holy. He's completely separate from us. He does it because who is and who was. He is eternally just. He is eternally holy. For you brought these judgments. Now, I want to point this out to you, church family, because some of us have a God that does not have claws or fangs. Then you don't have the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible is no tame lion. He has fangs and he has claws and he knows exactly how to use them and who to use them against. And so he's making sure that we understand that it is he who is doing the judging. Okay? He who is doing the judgment. Verse 6, for they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets. He is avenging the blood of his followers, the saints and the prophets. And you have given them blood to drink. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, which is a great way to administer justice. Not just then, but even now. It is what they deserve. They deserve. Now, let me just add, but for the grace and the mercy of God, it's what we all deserve. For none of us deserve heaven. We all deserve hell. Amen, Bertie? And I heard the altar saying, yes, Lord God the Almighty, there is no power greater than Him. True and just are your judgments. And God has every right to judge His creation because it's His. It belongs to Him. Every Everything on earth belongs to Him. In Psalm chapter 19, verse 9, the Bible says, "The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." You see, this is something God's people have known since time immemorial, that they serve a God who is just, and because He is just, He's a God who judges, and He judges perfectly. In Revelation chapter 19 and following, the Bible says this, "After this I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, 'Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for His judgments are true and just.'" So heaven is praising God because His judgments are true and just. "For He has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of the saints." So God judges evil people. God doesn't judge sin. All right? God judges the sinner. And I think so often we think, well, God's going to judge their sin. No. God's going to judge because of their sin. God doesn't judge sin per se. He judges the person who breaks the law of God. And I think that's something we need to always remember. And the other part of this, just in case you're thinking this God is mean and tyrannical, let me say otherwise. The Bible makes it very clear that God is not capricious, He is not evil, He is not mean, He is not haphazard, and He is not tyrannical. Because a just judge is none of those things, but an unjust judge is every one of those things. And our God is a just judge. He is orderly, He is just, He is righteous, and He is wrathful, just as He should be. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Now listen, how does this apply to us today? How did knowing these things about God apply to our culture today? Well, just this way. A culture or a society or a government that refuses to judge and punish the criminal is not reflective of our holy and just God. It is reflective of Satan. You hear me? Any courtroom that abdicates its God-given power to judge and punish criminals is not godly. It is evil. Pure, satanical, and evil. Church family, the wrathful, righteous, and perfect judgment of God is terrifying. And we might think that people would repent, but they didn't. They did not repent. They did not give God glory. And this is going to take place in the future one final time. As the flames roared toward them, a little girl cried out in terror, "Are you sure we shall not all be burned up?" The leader replied, "My child, the flames cannot reach us, for we are standing where the fire has been." That is a picture of salvation for every believer who is safe in Jesus Christ. The fires of God's wrathful judgment have been burned out at the foot of the cross. And the only safe place to stand to not be burned up in the wrathful judgment of God is at the foot of the cross. That's the only place. Do you know Christ in a saving way? Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you live for Him as your Lord? Your future depends upon it. Whether you'll see God in wrathful judgment or whether you'll experience His mercy because of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's one thing I can tell you for sure and certain. Without Christ, a person will suffer the wrathful, just judgment of God, period. But in Jesus, we'll be welcomed into heaven. Hallelujah and amen. Well, I'm going to stop there this this morning. And we'll pick up with the fourth bowl judgment, which is scorching, searing fire from the sun. So a good preacher always leaves the congregation wanting to come back for more. So that's what I'm trying to do. Leave you to want to come back for more next Sunday as we learn about our wonderful, loving, gracious Heavenly Father. Amen and amen. Let me finish with this little story. Back in 1830, George Wilson was convicted of robbing the U.S. mail and was sentenced to be hanged. President Andrew Jackson issued a pardon for Wilson, but he refused to accept that pardon. The matter went to Chief Justice Marshall of the U.S. Supreme Court, who concluded that Wilson would have to be executed. He says, "A pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged for his crime." For some, the pardon comes too late, this author says. For others, the pardon is never accepted. Today is the acceptable day to receive the pardon of God through the sacrifice of the Son. You may not have tomorrow. You may not even have this afternoon. But the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the invitation of Jesus, to come to Him to be healed of your sins. And if you come to Him, you will be healed. But if you refuse the gracious pardon of God through Jesus Christ the Son, the only other consequence is the wrathful, just judgment of God. What will it be, church family? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to come together, to come outside of the earthly, to get a little taste of heaven. For in heaven we will hear you speak. And what a day that will be. But now, Lord, business needs to be taken care of. And I pray that if there's anyone here that knows not Jesus Christ in a saving way, that today will be the day that they place their personal faith in Jesus Christ for salvation and trust Him for the forgiveness of their sins and live for Him as the Lord of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.